I think there's only one other country, Canada, I believe, also has Thanksgiving. But you don't find this anywhere else around the world. And we had Fabian over on Thursday, and he was just like, wow, people just don't work, don't go shopping. Everything basically is stopped, and they just come together to eat. Yes, that's weird. It was strange. Just come together to eat a meal. And it's amazing just to see wherever you go on Thursday, if you're walking out on the street, everything's closed. And just, you know, that people are with friends, with family. And we praise God for our family. Amen? We praise God for the many, many blessings we have received. And we could be here all day just counting the blessings received. And it's important to be thankful. It's important. The Bible tells us that. Jesus himself tells us that, where he tells us what happened with 10 lepers. All of them got healed. They all ran quickly. They were so excited that they had been healed. They went to the temple to let the priest know, we're healed. And one of them, a Samaritan, said, wait a second, before I go to the temple, I want to go back to the one who healed me. And he went back to see Jesus and to thank him for what he had done to him. And Jesus asked the question, where are the other nine? Is it important to be grateful, brothers and sisters? It's very important to have an attitude of gratitude. And it doesn't come by easy. We tend to forget. We tend to take things for granted. And I can tell you that growing up, you know, being at home with my parents and enjoying all the things that they were giving me at the time, I never thought of, hey, is there going to be food on the table that day? That never crossed my mind. Is there going to be, you know, are my parents going to be at home? That didn't cross my mind. Or is there going to be gasoline in the car? That didn't cross my mind. It was just going to be there. It was going to happen. And it wasn't until I went to college that I still remember coming to our little school in Austria, 100 students there. And I got into my room. It was my first time living away from family, and I was going to have a roommate. And all of a sudden, they tell me where the washing machine is. I go, wow, got to call my mom to find out how this works. And how much detergent, mom? And just figuring out iron and all these things I took for granted. But praise God for moms, amen? And for dads. And for what our grandparents and extended family do for each one of us. And before I go into the sermon, I'd like to also take the opportunity on behalf of Pastor Jeff and Nikkel, my wife Carolina, our staff here at Fallbrook, myself, thank the church family for all that you do. Incredible. Incredible the way God uses you to bless others. The time you use to just share with others, it'd be just listening ear, just there to listen to someone when they're expressing what they're going through. Time to share some counsel. Talents, amazing talents that the church has. And you're willing to share it with our church family and make our worship service something delightful, something that praises and brings honor to God. And again, the talents and treasures that you share. And I know of many, many stories of people who have been helped by your generosity. Students that are going to school that have been helped by this church. And again, we praise God, Pastor Jeff, myself, for the opportunity to serve here in this church and to learn from you. Because you share from the abundance of what God has given you. You share. And we have reason to be thankful. We have reason to be thankful. And this is the message I believe Paul was sharing with the church at Corinth. A church that was well-to-do. A church that was prospering. A church that was growing, a church where many were being converted to the gospel message. And Paul was praising God for the good things. They did have their challenges. They were going through their difficult moments. There were things that were not right in the church of Corinth, but there were other things that they were doing well. And one of them was being generous, especially with a church down in Jerusalem. They were going through difficult times, and there was, at points, they didn't have any food. And so the church in Corinth would provide the means for that. And I would like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, for scripture reading, chapter 9. And verse 1 basically tells us what Paul is writing to the church there. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. It's obvious that you guys are generous. It's obvious that you guys have a giving heart. It's obvious. And yes, we still have needs, church in Corinth. Don't forget, I know you've helped in the past. I know you've done a lot to do the mission of the church here in Judea and in other parts of the world. And we're grateful for that, but don't give up. Do we sometimes feel like, hey, it's always me who has to be giving? And you might even feel tired of giving. And you might feel like, wait a second, why me? And maybe the church in Corinth was feeling a little bit in this way. And so he encourages them in verse 6, and this is a verse that we've heard before, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You could tell Paul here is encouraging the church, hey, let's not stop sharing. Let's not stop giving to those who are in need. And then it says, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When we give, we should give with joy, with happiness, and according to what God has put in our heart to give. That's what he expects of us, and only that. Verse 8, our scripture reading. And God is able to make all what, brothers and sisters? All grace abound toward you. God is able. Do you feel like you need some grace today? Do you feel like you need some grace? You've been needing some grace throughout this week? Throughout this month, maybe? All year? God says in his word, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, that you lack nothing, that you need nothing. We live in a great country, don't we? Incredible. You can go to any store, there's sufficient, there's abundance of things, of food. I can tell you from traveling to other countries, you don't see the supermarkets that you see in the United States of America in other parts of the world. You don't see that. When people come and visit this country for the first time, they look, they go, wow! Look at all those apples. Some have never seen an apple before, or a strawberry. That doesn't exist in their country. You go to stores and you see them full of things. But God says why he gives these things to his people. So they may abound to every good work. That they may put these things to use. In what way? Paul explains, quoting Psalm 112, verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. He then explains to the church in Corinth, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, Corinth, if you have received much, it all comes from God. He's the provider. He is the source of the bread that you have. He is the source of the fruit that you collect every year. He is the source. Do not forget this. And he continues telling them, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Have you ever invested some money? And what does anyone who invests, what do they expect in return? Returns or results, right? That's expected. And I can imagine the church in Corinth saying, hey, we're giving. Where are the results? And Paul says, hey, first of all, there are people who are thanking you for what you're doing. People that you might not know, but they are praying for you. They're praising God. They're thanking God for what you're doing. Verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, verse 14, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Paul is telling them, hey, you're giving, they're giving you also. And what they're doing is they're thanking God for you and they're praying for you. I praise God for prayer, brothers and sisters. I know that today, this morning, somebody got up around 5-6 in the morning to pray for me, my grandfather. And he does that every morning. He gets up, prays for me, my sister, his children, his grandchildren. Praise God for that. Praise God for parents who pray for their children. Praise God. If there's anything that I would need, or Pastor Jeff would need, is prayer. We're living in difficult times, challenging times, not only outside in the world, but inside the church. A time where important decisions will be made that will affect our church and our world for eternity. And if there's ever a time where we need to be praying for one another, is today. The challenges that our young people are facing, difficult ones. And as parents, I know you're praying for them, asking God's Holy Spirit to be beside them and help them as they make these decisions. The challenges that we see when it comes to sickness. We go, God, come, Lord Jesus, come. On Wednesday, I received a phone call. A person whose husband passed away at age 35. She's 6 months pregnant. I don't know her. She's not a member of our church. But she called because she said, you know, I took my husband to this hospital, and finally he ended up at Loma Linda University Hospital. No, they were not able to save him. But what I saw impressed me. And I saw all these doctors. It said code something. There were about 35, 40 doctors. They filled up the room. They came around the bed. They prayed for me and my husband. They prayed. That really impressed me. And would you be willing to do a funeral service a graveside service for my family, for my husband. Challenges that people are facing around us, and we think, can we still give God praise and honor? Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us a little bit of the things that we are to suffer as Christians. Verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. How do we approve ourselves as ministers of God? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Amazing. Paul is telling us here that even through the difficult times, we can praise God, we can serve God, we can count our blessings, brothers and sisters. Amen? We can count our blessings. And Scripture doesn't say all things are going to go perfectly well. In fact, it tells us that for God's people, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. But in the midst of those challenges, we can count our blessings. And we can count our blessings because of Jesus Christ and what he came to do for each one of us. Amen? If only that, we can count that as a blessing. I want to share with you some quotes from Ministry of Healing, a powerful quote regarding Jesus' ministry on earth. He ministered to the poor, and he ministered to the rich. He ministered to all. While he ministered to the poor, Jesus studied also to find ways of reaching the rich. He sought the acquaintance of the wealthy and cultured Pharisee, the Jewish nobleman, and the Roman ruler. He accepted their invitations, attended their feast, made himself familiar with their interests and occupations, that he might gain access to their hearts and reveal to them the imperishable riches. Amen? Christ came to this world to show that by receiving power from on high, man can live an unsullied life. With wearying patience and sympathetic helpfulness, he met men in their necessities. By the gentle touch of grace, he banished from the soul unrest and doubt, changing enmity to love and unbelief to confidence. With what did he do this? With grace. With God's Holy Spirit, he banished from the soul unrest and doubt. He could say to whom he pleased, "Follow me." And the one addressed arose and followed him. The spell of the world's enchantment was broken. At the sound of his voice, the spirit of greed and ambition fled from the heart, and men arose emancipated to follow the Savior. Amen? And that's what Paul was seeing in this church of Corinth. People who had accepted the gospel, people who had accepted God's grace, people who were wanting to see the world change for the better. A world where no more wars, no more hate, no more division. But what impressed me about what Paul was saying here, I find in the last verse of this section, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen? Thanks be to God for his unimaginable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Does God's grace still amaze you, brothers and sisters? It's amazing that God would want to come to this planet Earth and give his life for me, give his life for you. Does God care about us? He cares about us. And nature is one of these books that tells us about God's care. Steps to Christ. There's a little section here that I just want to briefly read to you where it says, and if we will but listen, God's created works will teach us precious lessons of obedience and trust. From the stars that in their trackless courses through space follow from age to age their appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. And God cares for everything and sustains everything that he has created. He who upholds the unnumbered worlds throughout immensity at the same time cares for the wants of the little brown sparrow that sings its humble song without fear. When men go forth to their daily toil, as when they engage in prayer, when they lie down at night, and when they rise in the morning, when the rich man feasts in his palace, and when the poor man gathers his children about the scanty board, each is tenderly watched by the heavenly Father. No tears are shed that God does not notice. There is no smile that he does not mark. If we would but fully believe this, all undue anxieties would be dismissed. Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment as now, for everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hands of God, who is not perplexed by the multiplicity of cares or overwhelmed by their weight. We should then enjoy a rest of soul to which many have long been strangers. We can put it all in God's hand. Everything. Nothing will overwhelm him. Nothing will surprise him. Nothing will scare him. If it's your family you're praying for, God's able to keep your family together. If it's your job you're praying for, God's able to sustain you. Amen? If it's your career, school, education, God's able to open doors. Why? Because of his unimaginable gift. A gift he gave us all. This week I heard of what I would probably say an unimaginable gift, indescribable one. There was a father who came out in the news who purchased a 12.4 carat diamond. Blue moon diamond. I believe I have a little picture here at the beginning. That one right there. Purchase price. $48 million. And he purchased it for his daughter, 7-year-old daughter. Is there any 7-year-olds here today? I can't put my mind around $48 million. I can't. And I don't think a 7-year-old could put her mind around $48 million. The day before, he bought her a 16-carat pink diamond. $28 million. So between those two purchases, over $70 million. And we would think, outrageous. How could anyone do that? And I think, amazing. God did more than that for each one of us. All the diamonds of the world, could not compare to what our Heavenly Father gifted us. And I think many times as human beings, we really don't get it. We don't know what we've received. And we live in this world sometimes scared, sometimes with anxiety, not understanding that God gave all of heaven in Jesus Christ for us. He poured heaven into this earth to save us. He values our friendship more than we could ever imagine. He cares about the things that you care. He cries when we cry. He laughs when we laugh. Amazing. The gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Is this a gift we are to keep to ourselves, brothers and sisters? Or a gift we should be sharing with those around us? It's a gift we should be sharing. How do we do this? How do we share this amazing, amazing message of grace, amazing message of hope, amazing message of forgiveness? We are invited to daily come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Amen? We are invited to bring before Him our needs. And we're invited, above all, to invite His Holy Spirit to dwell where? In each one of our hearts. Imagine one of the most important beings in the universe wants to make His dwelling where? In each one of our hearts. Is God's gift amazing? Amazing gift. And the beautiful thing is that very soon He's coming back to take it home. Amen? I believe sometimes we are like a diamond. He's polishing us here on earth. Still some edges and things that need to be taken off. But He's working on us. Amen? And He's making us more and more beautiful for His honor and His glory. We have much to be thankful for. We are blessed. As Joe shared an email, you know, can't count that high, huh, Joe? All the blessings that we've received from God, can't count that high. But those are the things that God has prepared for each one of us, things that nobody's ever seen, are the things that He has in store for each one of His children. And we want to give Him praise. We want to give Him glory for the incredible gift that we have received in Jesus Christ. Amen.